Welcome to part three of Living the Best Life, a discipleship journey. In part two, we looked at a change of heart and we looked at the word repentance. Today in part three, we're going to look at who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. Some people, because of a lack of understanding, may ignore the existence of the Holy Spirit, or in some cases, they may be fearful of him. We want to be clear today that we teach and we believe the Holy Spirit is a wonderful person who is our helper, our comforter, our guide, our teacher, our friend, and yet so much more. Today we're going to study a lot of scriptures. We're going to learn a lot of scriptures in the Bible, and I'm going to ask you to make some notes in your journal as you go along. At any point, stop the video, read the scriptures again if you don't understand them and want to find out a little bit more. But take time with these scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures that we're going to look at. It's really important that we understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. So let's explore together now the Holy Spirit. So right at the outset of this study, we're going to make this declaration: the Holy Spirit is God. When you read the Bible for yourself and you study it, you will find there is one God, but it is made up of three people. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, for now, just for this point, I want you to write down that they are co-equal and co-eternal. We'll understand that a little bit more detail in a little while. The term that Christian theologians use today is the word Trinity. But if you were to read the Bible and study it, you will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. It's a theological term for people to understand that there is one God, but three persons in the Godhead. And we're going to look at that as we go along through this study. But first of all, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. To understand this, we start to look at what Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit, about him. Now, just before Jesus was about to die, he started to prepare his disciples for his death. And what he said to them was, he was going to send the person of the Holy Spirit to be with them. What Jesus does is he clearly refers to the Holy Spirit as him. Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force or power. In the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, John chapter 16, verse 7. You might want to write that down, John chapter 16, verse 7. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is talking about sending somebody he calls an Advocate to be with us when Jesus leaves this earth. In the next verse that we're going to look at in a minute right now, personal pronoun he is used no less than six times in this scripture verse. Now, there are countless other verses that you can look at, but we're just going to focus on this one for a minute. John chapter 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So in that verse, we have the Holy Spirit and the pronoun he six times that clearly teaches us the Holy Spirit is a person. The next scripture verses clearly show us that we're going to look at that the Holy Spirit possesses all of the attributes of a person. He has a mind, he has a will, he has thought, he has understanding, he possesses speech, he has authority, he directs and instructs, he teaches, he loves, he is obeyed, and he can be grieved. So let's look at some of those attributes now. So the first one, the Holy Spirit has a mind. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit has a mind. The next attribute that we'll look at is, not only does he have a mind, but he also knows and understands. And he does this because he knows the will of the Father, and he knows what is best for us, and works out on our behalf how to get us into the will of the Father and lead us into the will of the Father. So as we allow the Holy Spirit to direct our lives, we will find our lives lining up with God's will, because the Holy Spirit works in complete unity with God the Father. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christian church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11 in the New Testament, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So the Holy Spirit has a will, and he makes decisions. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Now, these are some long verses. Quite a lot of things are in these verses. And again, you might want to stop this video after this and read it again and make some notes in your journal. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. "Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So the Holy Spirit has a mind, he has a will, he makes decisions. What else does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit loves. Again, Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans 15, 30, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my strength by praying to God for me." The Holy Spirit also teaches us. John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So the Holy Spirit helps us to understand Scripture. And when we read Scripture, we should always ask him and invite him to help us make sense of them. So today, if I'm reading the Word of God and I'm studying, I will say, "Holy Spirit, would you come right now and would you show me and teach me from the Word of God?" And the Holy Spirit transforms the words in the Bible into life-giving, life-changing truths. Now, There is a biblical principle that if you want to have authority in your life, you must come under authority. To live your life to the full as God would want you to experience it, you must submit to the Word of God. We'll talk about this later on. And you must submit to the instructions of the Holy Spirit. God the Father has given us His Word and His Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Himself has sent His Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter came under authority of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit spoke to Peter, and he went to a city called Caesarea. And you know, when you and I hear from God, when God's Spirit speaks to us, we are to act upon it. Now, in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the fifth book, Peter had a dream or a vision. He did not understand what this was about. And it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 19 to 21, these words, "While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them.' And Peter went down." Peter listened to the Holy Spirit, listened to the instructions of the Holy Spirit. He obeyed the Holy Spirit. He went down to the people and he went with them. And the result was whole households became Christians. So for us, it's important to take time and to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. We seek His leadership, we seek His direction in our lives, and we obey Him. So not seeking His direction would be like driving around in a car which has a sat-nav. We don't know where we're going, but we have a sat-nav and we don't turn it on. Not obeying the Spirit would be like having the sat-nav on, but not following its directions. We must seek Him, listen to Him, and obey Him. The last book in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 17, John writes this: "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So, we understand now that the Holy Spirit is a person. So let's return to the theological term Trinity. The concept of the three in one God is not always easy to understand or grasp. This side of heaven, there will be some questions that we just do not have the answers to or fully have them until we get to heaven. But there are different ways of us visualizing that can give us a better understanding. So, for example, I want us to think about this equilateral triangle that I have on my table here. I want you to imagine this is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I want you to imagine that each of these angles represent one of the Godhead. While it's true to say that each of these three angles are unique, it's also true to say that if we started to colour in one of these angles, that we would eventually end up colouring in all the other ones as well, until the whole triangle is filled. And there isn't a place where one angle ends and the other starts. They each run into each other. The Holy Spirit, then, being fully God, has to have all the same attributes of God. What makes God God? Well, I'm going to say there are four things that we can prove that God is God and that the Holy Spirit is God. First of all, let's look at the word omniscient. What does omniscient mean? It means all-knowing. We know that God is all-knowing. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is omniscient, all-knowing. Second attribute, omnipresent. That means everywhere present. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. There is nowhere I can go, and you are not there. Wherever we go on this earth, or above this earth, wherever we go, the Holy Spirit is there. He is omnipresent. Third attribute, omnipotent, means all-powerful. In the middle of the Bible, you have the book of Psalms. And if we look at Psalms 104, verse 27 and verse 30. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. He creates and sustains. God creates and sustains. He is all powerful. The Holy Spirit creates and sustains. He is all powerful. The final attribute that we'll look at right now in this study is eternal. Eternal means there is no beginning and there is no end. In the New Testament, there's a book called Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 to 14. It's quite a strange verse in a way, and it might be one, again, you want to stop the video and just read it a little bit and make some notes. Ask Pastor Rachel or Pastor Josh, or come and speak to me if you don't understand this verse. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God? The eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He has no beginning or no end. The Holy Spirit was at work in your life and my life before we made the decision to follow Jesus. And he was part of that decision making. The Holy Spirit would have been working in our lives and preparing us, ready for the day when we gave our life to Jesus. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now for the right time when you are ready to receive Jesus into your life. So Jesus promised that when he went back to his heavenly Father, he would send another advocate, you remember that word, advocate, to be with them. The New Testament is written, as we've said a number of times, in Greek. And the Greek word for advocate is allos parakletos. That means another person just like Jesus. So Jesus was going to send another person exactly like him. In other words, Jesus is God. When Jesus, as God, goes back to God the Father, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with his disciples and all his followers, so that the work that Jesus started will continue until Jesus returns back to this earth. And the work continues today through the Holy Spirit, who gives us the power to live as disciples and to show us God's will. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15 to 7. This is what Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. When you gave your life to Jesus and you invited him into your life, you received the Holy Spirit at this very same time. from the second you invited Jesus to become Lord of your life, you invited the Holy Spirit to come and live within you. You were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is known as baptism in the Holy Spirit. So today, you are now empowered to live what we call a Spirit-filled Christian life, a life where we are led by the Holy Spirit and empowered and strengthened by the person of the Holy Spirit, who is God. The Holy Spirit wasn't just given to those first disciples in Jesus' day. It is for every disciple, every follower of Jesus Christ. He is with you today as much as he was for the early disciples. Peter spoke in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 38 to 39. He says to his Jewish nation, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off and for whom the Lord your God will call. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, "Be filled with the Spirit." In that tense that he uses in this scripture, it means keep being filled. It's a constant thing. It's an ongoing daily filling. The Apostle Paul was saying, keep filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. Keep inviting the Holy Spirit. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, our lives need to be constantly open to the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." I want to encourage you today. Be filled with the person of the Spirit. Be filled with God. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is quite common that you will speak in another language that you have not learned before. This is known as a heavenly language, or Bible calls it tongues. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through you to God the Father. And we're going to study this in section 9 in this series. Right now, I want us just to invite the Holy Spirit just to come and minister to us and to speak. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for everyone that's listening today. We thank you, Father, you've called them or are calling them right now to know you and to follow you and to know you in a much deeper way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and you saved us. You saved our souls. You saved us. And you are now our Lord and Saviour. But Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we invite you right now just to come and to speak into each and every one of our lives, wherever we are now, whatever we're doing, whatever time of day or night we're listening to this video. We invite you just to come and we just sit in your presence and say, "Come, Holy Spirit." And we pray, Lord, that this will be a regular time when we invite you to do that. And you will teach us. You'll be our advocate. You'll be our comforter. You'll be our teacher. You'll be our friend and so much more. In the next session of The Best Life, A Discipleship Journey, we're going to be looking at the subject of Just Do It. Looking forward to connecting with you again. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.